Father, we just pray today you're going to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have the power to save. And that's the title of this morning, Lord. And we pray that you will not just continue to save us, but the power of the Spirit to save people that we go and talk to them about Jesus. We go in your name. We pray that we'll see more of your power coming through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've asked five people to come and actually read. They're going to read a short something, just a single verse, and then we're going to talk about something that happened with Jesus and use that as an illustration about how Jesus has come to save. So if we can have the five of you come forward, those who are doing the readings, and then we'll just say a little bit about each particular verse. So whoever's doing number one, I can't remember who that was now, but who's number one? Is that you, sorry? So if you just give out your reference, and then we'll just say just a few words about the particular scripture that you've got. Sorry.
Yeah, this is from the book of Romans, Romans 3, chapter 23. We're reading from a New Living Translation. So it's, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Next.
Okay. Sorry, I was talking. It says, what was it? The. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means, the word sin there means to miss the mark. We need to know, we should all know this anyway, that the reason we come to Jesus, first of all, because we were sinners, right? We were separated from God. We had a sinful nature. That was our problem. Jesus crucified the sinful nature on the cross. It says, for all have sinned and missed the target. That's literally what it means. Jesus hit the target for us and paid the price for our sins so that we can now hit the target. That means doing the will of God. That means living a holy life. That means living like Jesus. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everyone. We're all in the same boat, so to speak. But through Jesus, we can be saved. Amen. Amen? So that's the first script. What's the second? Who got the second one?
Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So the wages of sin, you know, we were working for our sins and we got wages. And the wages of our sins is death. And the Bible teaches that the ways, if we carry on sinning, at the end of our life, we will die eternally. And that death isn't just a stopping of life. Actually, death goes on. So in other words, because we are spirit beings, our spirit will continue to live on, but in a place called death, actually a place called Hades, a place of torment. And the reason that Jesus came from heaven to the earth, the reason God became a man and died for us on the cross, was actually to save us from going there. That's the reason, because the whole human race is headed there. And the Bible tells us that this is a spiritual reality, that there's a heaven where God is, and there's a place called the lake of fire, where not just where Satan's going to be thrown, but where all who do not believe will be thrown into that fire. Jesus came to save us from going there. I call that good news. Amen. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. It's literally what it means, eternal being without God in a terrible place. And Jesus, God sent Jesus to come to this earth because that can't be reversed or changed. But what can be changed is Jesus can come and save us. Amen. Jesus can come and save us by his power and give us his life to save us from going there and redirect us on the path to get us to heaven and get us into eternal life, which we have today, those of us that have believed in him, right? Number three. Who's got number three? Number three.
Oh,
is that you, Gary? Yeah, I think you. Yeah, let me just. I think you have. Yeah. Is it 2 Corinthians 5? Yeah, yeah.
This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of, the righteousness of God.
Thank you. So that's telling... Sorry, I keep going to wrong. That's telling us that, Jesus became sin for us, right? He became sin for you and me. He literally became a sin offering. So that in taking our sins, like a sponge, he soaked up our sins. He took away all of the past. And in that moment, when our sins were placed upon Jesus, he then gave us his righteousness. So it's an exchange. It's what we call a divine exchange. God took away your sin, took away my sin. He became sin for us, for me and for you. So that if we believe in him, if we repent and turn to him, we can have our sins forgiven, which we need to. We need to confess that we are sinners, that we are without Jesus, without Christ. But when we do that, when we confess our sins to him and receive forgiveness, he then says, now I can give you my righteousness. So he became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. Literally receive a new nature. Because we can't have two natures. There's no way that we can have two natures. So God has taken away the first nature by crucifying it on the cross with Jesus. So Jesus took my sinful nature and crucified the old nature on the cross and then says, Paul, I'm giving you my nature, my righteousness. It's a gift. And when you receive that gift of his righteousness, you haven't got to try and be a good Christian. You haven't got to try and be holy. You haven't got to try in the sense of trying to be something. You are now made holy. You are now made right with God because you've got a new nature. And because you've got a new nature on the inside of you, that new nature will quite naturally, spiritually produce some very good fruit. If you will let it. That's why Wayne, wherever he is, somewhere, that's why Wayne is a completely new person. Why? Because the sin and the sinful nature has been taken away. The mind has still got to be renewed, and some of the old habits have still got to be changed, but that's a process. But the exciting thing is that he is born again because the Spirit of Jesus is now living on the inside of him. And he's testifying, not because he's tried, because that's one thing we've told all the guys, don't, for goodness sake, don't try and be a good Christian, because you're going to get very confused. Let the life of God that's in you begin to come out. Amen. Make room for that righteousness, because God has given you a new life, a new nature. And the old nature has been dealt with. It's been crucified. That's what baptism is all about. It's the truth that Jesus took it all away. It's great, isn't it? Amen. The righteousness of Jesus. Number four.
This is from John chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Amen. So on this scripture, which some of us will know very well, but we need to listen to this, that God so loved you. Amen. That he gave Jesus Christ the Lord for you. That whoever believes in him will not perish, that means eternal death, but receive everlasting life. So it's a reminder that God's love sent Jesus to save us. The power of Jesus here today to save people. And that's why on these Sundays, you can think now and pray right today, Lord, who can I bring to the next Sunday that we have, the next community Sunday, the second Sunday will be in October. So this place is packed with friends who don't know Jesus. Maybe we don't have a lot of friends who don't know Jesus. Maybe that's part of the issue for us. But we need to make some friends out of people who don't know the Lord, and invite them to come. Are you with me? So that on this particular Sunday, we can bring a mate, we can bring a friend, a work colleague, maybe a neighbour, and tell them that this is the kind of, you know, because this will be the sort of meeting that we want to have, where we have testimonies and scriptures that talk about the truth, so that they can hear about who Jesus is. Does that sound good to you? We don't exist for ourselves, do we? We exist for the Lord and for others. Okay, and the fifth scripture, which Vera is kindly going to read.
It's 1 Corinthians 15. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. Is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place? I passed on to you what was more important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers, at one time most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him.
So this is giving us the facts and figures. This is giving us the truth about the fact that Jesus died, he lived, he died, he rose again. That's the gospel. He lived, he died, he rose again. That takes about 5 seconds to say that something. He lived, he died, he rose again. Amen. And then you can expand on it. So this is the truth. And you know, we've got it in the Bible in a number of places where witnesses were there who said, we were there, we saw it, we heard him, we touched him, we ate with him, we were with him before, we were with him after he rose again from the dead. So despite silly people like Richard Dawkins, who's propagating a complete fabricated lie, we have the evidence in the Bible, which is the greatest evidence that we've got, because it was written by the people that were there at the time. Amen. For goodness sake. And you know, and not just one person, but many people. And there's plenty of evidence that we know that Jesus is alive today. So if you put all this stuff together, it's called truth about Jesus. And he has the power to save us. Amen? Amen. Let's give him a round of applause for... Read it. You did really well. It's great. And we're looking at the moment, we're in a series, we've entitled it the Go Series. And in the first week, we talked about power to go. Because God has called us, once we believe in him, to go in his name so that others can hear about and come to know him and become disciples. Last week, we talked power. We talked about, entitled it Power, Power for Boldness, or Power and Boldness. And I don't know if any of you have had a good week this week in telling some other people about Jesus. Just put up your hand if you had a good week about telling people, perhaps witnessing to people about Jesus this week. Just stick your hand up. If you had an opportunity or opportunities, just stick your hand up nice and high. Now, we've had opportunities this week to tell other people about Jesus. Now, I experienced something from what I preached last week. I experienced a greater boldness. That's what we were believing God for. And I experienced a greater power at work when I was witnessing to some other people about Jesus. So God wants us to experience and to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that when we're talking to other people about Jesus, we're not just giving them words and facts, because that won't change anything. But what happens is the power of the Holy Spirit who's living on the inside of us takes hold of the Word of God, that's the Scriptures that have become truth on the inside of us. And when we start witnessing and talking to other people about Jesus, what happens is the Holy Spirit says, oh, this is good. I'm going to flow through these words. I'm going to flow through this Spirit, this heart, this person. And the Spirit gets to work on the people that we're talking to.
Amen.
Sometimes people will begin to have tears in their eyes. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes people will be touched deep inside and they'll feel something happening to them. And we're not just talking about feelings here this morning, but I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit's at work, you can feel things. Amen. You must feel things. If you feel nothing, absolutely nothing, then there's something wrong. Now, I'm not preaching the gospel of feelings this morning, because there's sometimes I feel absolutely nothing, but God is still speaking to me. Amen. But what I'm saying is if you never feel anything, there's something amiss. God probably wants to make you whole in an area of your life so that you can begin to feel and sense the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't depend on our feelings and we don't depend on our experiences, but the Holy Spirit is a real person. He is God. And if God's living on the inside of you, you've got to experience him.
Yes.
You have to, because he's living in you.
Amen.
I mean, for those of us that are married, if you don't experience living with the person that you're with, if you don't feel anything or if there's nothing happening there, there's something wrong. And the Holy Spirit has come to live in us so that we know that he's living in us through faith. But then there's the ongoing, if you like, experiential side of living for God. Is this making sense? Now, Jesus has come, has saved, most of us here have been saved, but there may be some here that this morning that aren't saved yet. Now, God wants to put his saving power to work in our lives.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you this morning, here's a real awful load of scriptures to you for you to write down. If you've got a piece of paper, write these scriptures down, because when you talk to people, if you've got in your mind some truths that are in the Bible, that will really, really help you. If you can memorize them, that's also very, very helpful as well. We read a few of them just this morning, but there's a whole load of others which will be helpful. And I would suggest that you write some down, stick it on a piece of paper or a card, stick it in your Bible, and just regularly read these scriptures so that when you're down at Sainsbury's or perhaps going to the garage or just witnessing to someone, maybe your next door neighbour, and they say, well, what's all this Christian stuff all about? You can say to them, you can begin to talk to them as a friend, relate to them, but then you can bring some truths in. Now, here are some truths. Romans 3, verse 23. That's the one we started with. For all have sinned and missed, you know, fallen short of the glory of God. So that's a truth. So we need to help people see that they're sinners, that they are actually living a life of sin, of missing the mark. Missing the mark that God has for them, missing the purpose that God has for them. And help them to understand that. Then you've got Romans 6, 23, that's another one that we read. The wages of sin is death. So the Bible tells us that we're working for our death. People are actually living their lives to die. That's terrible. God wants us to be living our lives so that we will live eternally. And we don't work for it, we receive it as a gift. That's the difference. Sin, you have to work at sin. Drugs and all the stuff that's darkness, and you get stuck into it, and you're caught, you're totally caught, and there's wages for it. But the difference is with God, he gives us the gift of eternal life. We don't work for it. You don't work for your salvation. You receive it as a free gift. That's the difference, completely different. You receive it as a free gift. When you receive Jesus into your life, he comes, he gives you the free gift of his nature, of his spirit to live on the inside of you. That's your start point in heaven, where he is. Because the Bible says that we're seated with him in the heavenly place. That's our start point. So we actually start being made right with God, having been forgiven. And our start point is we're now in relationship with him in heaven, in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And it's a gift. And from that point, we then begin to work for God. We then begin to do his will. And his power is there to save us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. There's another one. And I'm just going to read these out to you. I'm not going to go through them all now, but you can look at them yourselves. 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. Because these different scriptures I'm reading to you are scriptures that relate to the gospel, what I would call the gospel message. And you won't want to use all of these. You won't want to have a piece of paper and say, well, let me just tell you all these scriptures. But you'll want to pull out some of these scriptures. As you memorize them, as you get to know them in your heart, you'll get the truth of them. You'll be able to put it in your own words what the Bible says. And Acts 17, verse 30 is a great one. Acts 17, verse 30. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, talking about the confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness, is a great scripture. It's a great scripture for us as believers, but it's a great scripture for people who don't know Jesus. These scriptures will be useful to you if you get to know them, to tell other people about Jesus, because they've got truths that they need to hear. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says that anyone who's a believer in Jesus becomes a new creation. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 24. There's another one. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. There's some more truths there that we need to read, get it into our hearts so we understand it, and then we can begin to use those truths and convey them to people that we see and that we meet. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. That's Vera read that just a while ago. And they're just some. There's lots of others, but there's some scriptures to do with the gospel and to do with finding Jesus and being saved. Then you've got Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 to do with the Holy Spirit. These are the Holy Spirit scriptures, just a few of them. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 39, to do with the Holy Spirit working in the church, working in God's people. And you've got John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. So these scriptures, I'm just going to encourage you this morning, read these scriptures and add your own ones in there as well, because there'll be others that you'll want to use about the gospel message. And put a few of these together, so you don't have to use them all just like this, but put them together so that you begin to think, right, what scriptures can I use when I'm talking to, say Simon wasn't saved, what scriptures can I use to help Simon to see that he's a sinner, to see that he needs Jesus, and to see who Jesus is? What scriptures can I use to help him to get there? Well, he is there. But those scriptures, those truths, will help a person understand they need to repent. So we need to find scriptures that talk about repentance, about turning to him. He needs to believe, so we need scriptures about talking about what it means to repent and believe and then receive Jesus into their lives. Those are the kind of scriptures that would be really, really helpful. And I find today that when I'm talking to people, God will always bring up different scriptures in different ways that represent some of these truths, so that as we're talking, they don't necessarily know I'm talking to them out of the Bible, but I'm putting it now into their language, but they will understand truths that are right there in the Bible. Does that make sense? And the Holy Spirit will use truths that are in the scriptures to cause people to repent and believe and then receive Christ into their life and be saved. Is that all right? Yeah. So I'm not going to charge you for that. That's all free, all right, this morning? That's a free one. But I encourage you to get to work on those. And I tell you, if we don't believe and put ourselves out there, Lord, please use me to reach people, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. But if we say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this because it's not the kind of person that I am. I'm not quite sure how to witness and tell other people about you. And I don't know the Bible that well. We want to help you in these coming weeks and months ahead to get to know your Bible better. But more importantly, through getting to know the Bible, the whole point of getting to know the Bible is so you get to know him better. So you really get to know who Jesus is living inside of you. And then start telling people about Jesus. If you begin to believe God wants to use every single one of us in this church to at least win one other person to Jesus Christ before this year is out, what would happen to this church? Well, we'd double for a start off. And you'd get really excited, I'm going to do that again. And you go and tell someone else. So if we begin to have faith, God wants to use you, and God wants to use me with the sphere of influence that I have in my workplace or with my neighbours, and what I do in my week, God wants to use me to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and his power to save them. It's always good news.
Amen.
Always good news. God's only got good news for us.
Amen.
But we have to repent and believe in him, don't we? And that's the message that we want to carry to people. Not you're going to go to hell, even though they are going to go to a place of eternal torment. But we want to tell them the good news that God has done something for them to stop them from going there. God has poured his lifeblood out so that they will come to be with him and reign with him eternally. That they will be with him in heaven, and that all that is laid out for us in the future millenniums, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth and everything, that God wants us to know that we're going to be with him forever in his eternal plans, because we don't know what those eternal plans are yet, do we? But I tell you, they're going to be great, because we're actually going to be with him as he is. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I look forward to that day when it says, the Bible says, we're going to see him as he is, and when we see him, we're going to be changed to be completely like him. That means his glory is literally going to be, we're going to be completely reflecting his glory in a pure way, in a holy way, that makes today look very poor in comparison. Now just come with me I want us to go to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to look this morning, just briefly, at a story, a true one, in the Bible here, that talks about something that happened, and will teach us about Jesus' power to save us. I don't know if you're going through a good time at the moment, whether you're going through a challenging time at the moment, whether you're going through a hard time at the moment, but I've got some great news for you, that Jesus has the power to save you in whatever situation you're in. And we're going to just read about this in this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And it says here, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, which was somewhere between three in the morning and six in the morning, so it was in the early hours of the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. We talked about this, didn't we, in the week, walking on the waters. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it must be a ghost, something they had never seen before. And they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, I am. He literally said, it's me. He was actually used the term or the phrase, that I am God. He was literally saying, I am Jehovah, I am the Lord. And he says, be of good cheer, I am, it's me, I'm here. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, what did he say? Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, what did he say? Save me. We're talking this morning about the Lord's power to save us. Now, the first meaning of being saved means to come to know Jesus and for him to come into our lives, because then we are saved for heaven. We're saved for him. So we must be born again, mustn't we? Amen. But we also need to know the power of the Lord to save us in our daily lives. Amen. We need to know the power of the Lord to save us in our workplace. We need to know the power of the Lord to save us in our finances. We need to know the power of the Lord to heal us and to heal other people. These are all aspects of God's power to save us and to change us to be more like Jesus. And all of us in this room this morning, we're all in the same boat in this sense, that we all need to be saved. Maybe most of us have given our lives to Jesus, so we're born again, so we are saved. In that sense, we are saved. We're going to heaven, you know, when we die, or we're going to meet the Lord if he comes first. We're on safe, we're in great ground. But Jesus doesn't just talk about us being saved for then, but he also talks about us being saved today. About daily being saved from ourselves. I need that every day, and so do you. We need to be saved from temptations. Amen. We need to be saved from sickness and disease. Amen. Now, Jesus paid the price for all this on the cross. But to put it into practice, we need to live by faith in him and in the Spirit who's living in us. Yes. We need to read the scriptures every day and spend time in prayer so that what's in here will become life to us in here and we will begin to live out of it. So the Holy Spirit and the Word of God together living in your life will cause you to live a saved life. Yes. Yeah. So it's no good me saying, well, I got saved when I was a young lad and it was wonderful and Jesus came into my life and I saw many answers to prayer, if today I'm not living the saved life. Amen. For me, I often will take a little bit of time and think, have I really grown over these last 3 months or this last 6 months or this last year? Do I know Jesus better today than I did a year ago? That's a great test to ask yourself that. Do I know Jesus better today than I did a year ago? Because if you do, then you've grown. That means he's been saving you some more. And God has given us the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we are living the saved life. And we all need to be saved daily. Not in the sense of our eternity. That's been sorted out for us. Thank God. It's been given to us as a gift. Jesus living in us. He is our salvation. But he wants to daily save us from the schemes of the devil against us. He wants to save us from our temptations that come our way. He wants to save us out of our troubles. He wants to save us, full stop, by his power. And that saving means that at each point where you need to be saved in your day, perhaps saved from a trouble, the Holy Spirit will come and he will help you and he will enable you to do something that you couldn't do without him. That, to me, that's the Christian life. The Christian life isn't doing what we can do. Christian life is doing what we cannot do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you agree with me? And what the Lord wants us in this church now, he wants us to know the power of the Holy Spirit daily saving us so that we are being changed into his likeness day by day. Now that happens through choices and decisions that we make right through our day. Whether I'm going to groan and mumble and complain about so-and-so who upset me, or whether I'm going to complain about the government, or whether I'm going to get knocked because someone gave me a hard time because I'm a Christian, or whether we give God praise and give him thanks. And we see the Holy Spirit saving us daily through making right decisions, right choices, because we want to do the right things in God. Does it make sense? So that we need to understand what the Bible says so that we're inspired and we know the truth of what he's saying so we then can put it into practice. We can't just put the Bible into practice without the Holy Spirit. We can only put this word of God into practice by allowing and believing and letting the Holy Spirit have his way in me. And then we step out. We have to do something. We step out in the Holy Spirit and obey his word, and then we are saved. I'll give you a great example. Some years ago, I was on my way home, and two drunk guys stopped me. I was on my push bike at the time, which wasn't a good place to be, and they were very drunk, but they weren't so drunk that they couldn't hit me, because they were standing on their feet. And they started accusing me of all kinds of things. I didn't know what they were on about. They were accusing me that I'd done this and that and the other. This is the bloke, like this. And so I had two blokes on me, and one of them said, just punch him, just hit him, just knock him down. And there was no point in me even trying to fight, because they were both bigger than me. And the first thing I did, I said, Lord, I said, Jesus, save me. And in a moment, something happened. As I talked to them, something came out of my mouth, something that I said. I don't know what it was, but favour started to come in a moment. They were about to duff me up, because apparently I'd done this, that and the other, which I hadn't. But I couldn't reason with that, so I called upon the name of Jesus. And he literally saved me from being beaten up, which I was very grateful for. And we ended up shaking hands. All the best, mate. Yeah, God bless you. And all this. And on I went home to bed. Amen. Safe and sound. What Jesus wants to save us out of every difficulty that we face. Some of us that maybe are going through ongoing pressures and stresses and strains that we need to be saved out of, and it will take a period of time to do that. And listen what happened to Peter, and we're going to use this as an example, that Peter saw Jesus, but Jesus said to him, get out of your boat and start walking on the water and come to me. Amen. Now I tell you, if we're going to live an exciting, adventurous Christian life, I guarantee God is going to say somewhere along the line, he's going to say to you, get out of your boat, start walking on the waters and come to me. Now, that goes right against what you want to do, probably. It goes right against what perhaps you're believing to happen, because you don't believe anything's going to happen. It goes right against your natural reasoning. But God is asking you to step out of the boat and obey his word. He's not talking about crazy doing stupid things, but sometimes God does ask us to do amazing things that without the Spirit of God, we couldn't do them. And here he says to Peter, get out of your boat and start walking. Come to me. If you're stuck this morning, if you're in trouble this morning, Jesus is calling you, say, come to me. He calls you by name, come to me. And if you will dare to step out of your comfort zone, or where you've got everything sorted out and you don't want God to touch this part of your life or that part of your finances or this part of whatever it is, if you're not prepared to let it go when he says to, you're not prepared to step out of the boat. But if you will step out of your boat and walk towards Jesus, you will actually come, you'll actually have a meeting with him where he's going to come and save you. In that area of your life where you need his salvation to work in you. Is this making sense? Jesus said, come. And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I don't know if any of you have been down to Ashburnham Place. But down at Ashburnham Place, with the Christian Conference Centre, is a great facility down there. But someone with a sense of humour put up a little board next to the lake. It's got a great big lake there. And it says, polite notice, please don't walk on the water. Especially for Christians, you see. Polite notice, please don't walk on the water. Well, God's saying to us, I want you to walk on water. No, I'm not talking about going when you go to Tilgate Park today, to try and find some water, because I think they've drained the lake out, but try and find some water and walk on it. But, you know, God wants us, it's talking about miracle territory. It's talking about walking in the supernatural. It's not the spectacular, but the supernatural. Talking about doing things that God asks you to do that you would not normally do or cannot normally do, that God will ask you to do. That God is asking us today to come out of our boat, our own little security, our own little zone of, well, this is mine, Lord. This is my comfort zone. This is my territory. You can have everything else, God, but not this. And God says, I want it all. And I want you to get out of that boat of yours and come and walk on the water and come to me. Because that thing is stopping you from coming to meet with me. And what will happen is, in whatever your circumstances are, if you allow God to change your mind and change your heart, you'll be willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to get out of my boat and start walking towards you in this part of my life. And as we humble ourselves and do this, listen what happens. Peter began to walk on the water. Peter is now having an incredible experience he's never experienced before. He's now walking, literally walking on the top of the sea. And he hasn't got some paddles on his feet. He's literally walking on the water, the same as Jesus. All the time that he's got his eyes fixed upon Jesus, he is being saved. Jesus is saving right there, and he's walking supernaturally. This is telling us that if we will step out of our boat, when God says to me, Paul, I don't want you to do that today. I want you to go and visit so-and-so. I say, Lord, I don't want to go and visit so-and-so. He says, go and visit so-and-so. I've got a word for them. I want you to go and see them. I don't feel like it. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel like. I'm telling you to go. Go and love them and give them this word, because it's just what they need today. So I step out of the boat, change the things that I was going to do, get some flack for it because it's upset a few other people, and go to this person because God said go. Does this make sense? But in obeying God, God has just saved me some more through obedience, through obeying what he's saying. And it does come at a cost. Obeying God does come at a cost. We know that. The Bible says that. But it also comes with great reward, because we just get to know more of him better. So it costs self, your self-life, but the reward is you just get more Jesus in your life. And that in turn makes you a better person. And enriches you all the more. And so it says that when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Peter was in trouble because he looked at the circumstance around him. And you and I know that when we're going through a real tough time, it's so easy just to look at our circumstances. It's so easy just to look at the fact that, well, actually there isn't any money in the bank, or, you know, I'm faced with a problem in my body, that I've got pain in my body and it's just not going away. What we need is a miracle. Amen. And what we need is Jesus, who's the miracle maker. And when we call upon his name, he will come and save us in that area of our life and teach us how to walk on the water, which is what we need to learn. And Peter began to sink in the circumstance of what he was in. He began to look around at the circumstance instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus. There's a lesson there, right there, for all of us. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. There are so many distractions today, more distractions today than ever there's been in the history of mankind. There's so much distractions. There's so much that we can see, that we can hear around us in our big wide world. Through the media, there's so much going on. We live at such a fast-paced life that it can be a huge distraction from following Jesus, can't it? And we've got to make a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus and not allow the worldly distractions to take me away from my focus upon Jesus. I want to walk on water. I want to walk supernaturally, if you like, with God and obey what he says. And I tell you, when you step out of your boat, I guarantee this, that God will take care of you and will enable you to walk in a way that you haven't walked before. And you will experience Jesus in a way you've never experienced him before. And God will save you. Amen. I mean, that's the way it works. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, I love this, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of, what does it say?
Little faith.
That's the issue in the church today. That I'm talking about the church generally, that there's such little faith that God can only do little things. God wants us to have great faith so he can do great things. Amen. I mean, so he wants us to believe him for great things because he's a great God. And as we step out of our boats and walk on the water towards him, he's going to enable us to do great things that we haven't done before. He's going to enable us to make decisions that we find really tough and hard, but he's going to enable us to make those decisions and walk closer to him. And we'll experience his power, and this is what this series is about, is going in his power. If we will obey what the Spirit of God is saying to us in our sphere of life, in our family life, in our daily life, in our work life, in our church life, if we'll obey him and step out, supernatural things will happen. And the great thing is that you're going to get to know Jesus better because he's calling you to come to him. He's not going to leave you on your own. Don't be afraid. Don't give way to fear in the midst of your trial or your difficulty or whatever you're going through. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, Peter doubted. He made a start. He started to walk on the water, and that's we need to do that. But then keep going. Keep going until you get there. And Peter, it says he doubted, and then Jesus, he cried out for help, and Jesus saved him. Literally just saved him, pulled him out of the water, and then they walked again on the water back to the boat. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, because there was a storm, wasn't there? And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus more at work today than ever.
Amen.
He wants to work more than ever. But we've got to allow him and make room for him to work in our lives by obeying him, by stepping out of the boat. He has the power to save us every day.
Amen.
So this week, as we go into this week, even maybe even today, we'll have perhaps a situation where we'll turn up we didn't expect. That's how it normally happens. And you have a choice that you can either say, "Jesus, what do you have to say about this? What do you want to do?" Or you make a decision, "This is what I'm going to do." And in that choice, you have a choice to walk on water or just stay in the boat. What are you going to do? So we need to listen to what God has to say. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. In our daily walk, in our daily work, because we all get up every morning, or some of us have worked all through the night, like Jackie, done a shift. But when we get up, we get dressed, we wash, we brush our teeth. What else do we do? Shave.
Sing.
Float around. Drink coffee, tea. All those ordinary things of life. But in our ordinary things of life, God wants to work miracles, doesn't he? He wants to cause us to go and walk on water. That's talking about walking in the supernatural. Walking with God so that he can do amazing things in our lives. Jesus is saying today, come. Get out of your boat. And walk on the water. I guarantee you, this word this week is going to work in your life if you'll let it. Where you'll see Jesus wants to save me and to save others through my obeying what he says to me this week. And it will start right where you are. So don't think he's going to say to you, "Well, you just need to go to Africa today and preach the gospel." He may say that to you, but you better make sure that you have preached the gospel to your neighbour first. And you'll be obedient in your workplace. And you're loving your husband and wife and children in the way that Jesus said, because that's really what matters before you do anything else in your daily life. God wants us to walk on water. He hasn't called us to live a boring life. The Christian life is not boring, I can tell you that.
Amen.
It's exciting, it's adventurous, but we have to step out of the boat to walk on that water with where Jesus is. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's just respond. Respond to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a chorus. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And then we're just going to respond just for a few minutes in prayer this morning to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands, shall we? Let's lift our hands to the Lord and just thank him this morning that he saved you. That's number one. He saved you. When you gave your life to him. But he wants to continue to save us every day. The same power of the Holy Spirit that saved you when you got born again is the same power that's at work today to save you in your daily life. And God wants us to become more aware of the power of the Holy Spirit setting us free in our minds, in our lives, in renewing us every day and seeing his power at work. In our ordinary, everyday lives. Does this make sense? Let's just sing this and worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is Lord. Just declare it over your life today. He is Lord, and He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord.